thank the Lord for His blessings. So thankful for those songs. I'm thankful that the Lord can build that fire within us, that we can keep on going down that path that the Lord has for us. Appreciate the young people tonight. Appreciate their willingness to be used of the Lord, and appreciate the blessings of the Lord tonight in this service. I almost have a fear to get up after the Lord has been blessing so richly. It's like, Lord, Your presence is so rich. It's kind of like the ark. You don't want to touch it. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God is great. Amen. He's a wonderful God. And as I listen to those songs, I'm going to write something on the board. Hopefully I spelled all that right. When I listen to the rich anointing of those songs and the presence of God coming down in our midst, I thought, Lord, what else would it take to persuade us? When you get into the presence of the living God and you see Him moving and working, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it does something. And I thank the Lord for that. And the burden that the Lord has laid on my heart, I've written it on the board here tonight. If you can't see it or read my writing, is what will it take to persuade you? And as I was praying and looking to the Lord about coming to this meeting, this is the thought that the Lord laid on my heart. And it was almost as if when I was meditating on that I could hear the Lord asking that question. What will it take to persuade you? And in my mind's eye, as I was there and I was meditating on this, it was almost as if I could see the Lord standing right here where I'm standing tonight, looking out over this assembly and asking that question, what will it take to persuade you? As He looked into the hearts and lives of each and every one of us and saw our needs. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, I can look out over this assembly, but I can't look into your hearts. I can't see your needs tonight, but I'm thankful that there's one that can. God can. And dear ones, I'm thankful for that, because every one of us in here, without exception, have needs from time to time. And we desperately need someone that can see and know and understand what our needs are. And dear ones, that's what our God can do. And so, as I was looking, thinking about that and meditating on this, what came to my mind as I was looking at that was, I pictured the Lord, as I said, standing here. But what I pictured was not a hard driving, it was not a arm twisting, high pressure affair. But instead it was the gentle voice of a shepherd, looking and pleading. And I'm going to tell you, the scripture that came to my mind, our text here tonight, is in Isaiah, the first chapter. In Isaiah, the first chapter and the 18th verse, it says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it doesn't matter how far a soul's gone. He said, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." He went on, "If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." What the prophet Isaiah was saying here, dear ones, is the same message that you will find over and over in the Scriptures. It is the same message that has been preached over this pulpit and many others many, many times over the years. It's a message of salvation. It is a message of hope and deliverance. It is a message of peace and comfort for those that will accept it. He said here, he said, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Oh, I'm thankful for that message, dear ones. But I'm going to tell you, there's something more to that as well. He went on and he said, but if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. This message that the prophet Isaiah was bringing was also a warning of death and destruction to those that refuse and rebel against the dealings of the Lord in their lives. And when I look at this, he said here, but if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured by the sword. Now I want you to notice this. It said, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. What a warning, dear ones. Do you know this isn't something that I came up with. It's not something that the prophet Isaiah came up with, but it's a message from God. And dear ones, that should persuade every one of us. But this message has been brought out many, many times by many different people, in many different ways, all down through time, because God has brought this same message over and over to every generation, all the way down through time.
Yes.
If you'll look with me now in Numbers, the 22nd chapter. Numbers, the 22nd chapter, you'll find one of the ways that the Lord brought this message. And I want you to get a hold tonight of how God will take and bring this message in any way that he can in order to touch a soul. And in Numbers, the 22nd chapter, you'll find the story of how that God used a donkey to bring this message to Balaam. You know the story of Balaam, and so I won't read all that for sake of time tonight. But you know how the Israelites were coming to the land, and Balak, the king of, I believe it was the Moabites, Amorites, some of those countries, and he sent word to Balaam and he asked him, he said, I want you to come and curse this nation. Because whomsoever you curse, they'll be cursed. And whosoever you bless, they'll be blessed. This was a man of God. He knew he'd seen this in his life. And so he wanted him to come and curse them. And so he sent these people to Balaam, and Balaam went before the Lord, and the Lord said, no. And I'm putting this all in my own words. You don't do that. These are my people. So he went up and he told the people, he said, no. He said, I can't curse them because these are the people of God. And so instead he blessed them. But you know what happened? Balak didn't give up. He kept sending others of greater importance. Young people, I want you to get a hold of something tonight. The devil will never give up. When you purpose in your heart and you make a decision, the devil is never going to give up. Don't be discouraged by that. That's just the way the devil is. When he comes and he begins to work on you and you think, I've rebuked him and I've resisted him, don't be discouraged if he keeps coming back, because he'll never give up. He's constantly looking for ways to try to convince you if he can. Well, Balak sent those of more importance, and they came to them. And so, what did Balaam do? Instead of taking, when they came and knocked on his door and said, hey, we're here, we want, instead of saying, look, I've already told you all, this is what the Lord said, and I'm not going with you, and instead, I'm going to give a blessing to the people of Israel. He had them come in, let me pray about this. And you know what the Lord did? He said, if they call you in the morning, you go with them. But if you read the scriptures, you'll find that Balaam didn't wait till they called him. But instead, it said he saddled his ass early and he went with them. I want us to understand something tonight, dear ones. When God takes, young people, if I could give you some counsel here tonight. When God comes and he gives you a definite answer on something, and he says, don't do this, or whatever it is, You better take and you better purpose in your heart. I'm going all the way with God. I've got it settled. I'm not going to change from that. Because the devil's going to keep coming back. And he's going to bring other people. He's going to bring other situations to try to get you to deviate from that. Balaam wanted to go, apparently. And so God gave him enough leeway that if that's what you want to do, I'll let you do it. But he told him, he said, if they ask you. But he just went ahead. It displeased the Lord, and yet the Lord was still faithful to Balaam. And I'm so thankful for this tonight. Yes. Dear ones, God doesn't just say, that's it, and cut us off. If you failed, and you've gone against the counsel of the Lord is going to be faithful to come back and knock at your heart's door. And that's what he did to Balaam. He took and he sent the angel of the Lord down with the sword there, and he was taken and was there to bring judgment. And you know the story of his donkey and how it moved and different things. And Balaam was upset. He couldn't see what the Lord was doing. Most of the time people, when they have it said, I'm going to go this way, they can't see sometimes the dealings of the Lord. But that donkey did. And I want you to look in this 27th verse. And it said, and when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled. And he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. And she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Oh, dear ones, when you look at this, can you see the extreme measures that God will go to help a soul? He took and he used the Balaam's donkey to speak to him.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at this, the message that God was giving to him was the same message that the prophet Isaiah gave back there. If you will follow the Lord, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now, you would think that Balaam would have taken and said, that's enough. I think if my dog talked to me, I think that'd be enough to me. I'd say, Lord, wait a minute. Do you see what I'm saying? God went to such extreme because he loved Balaam and he loved his people. Dear ones, God loves every one of us here tonight. And God was there and he was dealing with Balaam. And you'd have thought that Balaam would have heard that and said, okay, Lord, I recognize I've done wrong. And Lord, I'm going back home. Instead, he asked, Lord, do you want me to go back home? I'll go if I have to. I'm putting this in my own words. The Lord let him go, but he gave him warning again. And if you go down through here and you read this, you'll find that Balaam, when he got there, he succumbed to the pressure of the king. He was there, and when he would go before the Lord, and the Lord would give him a blessing for the people of Israel, finally, I think it said, he quit asking. He said he already knew what the Lord was. He should have known way back there.
That's right.
This is what God said. God doesn't change. I should have stayed home. And so he quit asking because he's like, I already know. But you know what happened when he quit asking? Eventually he got to the place to where he told Balak exactly what to do to cause the Israelites to sin. Send your beautiful women in there. Marry them. It'll draw them away. And when they sin, God will not bless them. It cost Israel such heartache and destruction, and it brought about Balaam's own demise. Dear ones, I'm convinced that tonight, Balaam is no doubt in hell, and he has wished over and over, I wish I'd just listened to that old donkey. I wish I'd have listened to the counsel, the warning of God. But it's too late now. He's in eternity forever lost because he disobeyed the word of the Lord. Remember, the message was, if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. This is not anything that man said. This is the mouth of the Lord. Oh, dear ones, God was faithful to Balaam, and He'll be faithful to us tonight. This is just one example. I want to look at another example. If you'll turn with me over here to 2 Kings, there's a scripture that I want to look at, and you'll find where God used someone else to be able to convey this message. It was a little girl. If you look in 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, and starting in the first verse, it says, "Now Naam, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel. A little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.'" Oh, I want to tell you, I encourage you to read these stories. There's so much. When you think about this, God blessed this man. He was a Syrian, and he was fighting against Israel. They had departed from God, and God allowed him to take one of Israel's little children. He said, that don't make sense. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God has a plan in all that happens. And he took this little girl and he put him over here in this Syrian captain's home for a purpose, to convey to him the message of hope and deliverance. And if you look at this, you'll find that God took and he delivered to this Syrian captive the same message that Isaiah preached way over there. He said, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, what's going to happen? You'll be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And if you look at this, he did it, as you scan down through here, he did it through the prophet Elisha. This little girl was the means of getting to the man of God. And then when he got to the man of God gave him this message by telling him, go down there and dip in the Jordan River 7 times and you'll be healed. Well, what happened? You know what happened with Naaman here? He almost allowed his pride to hinder him from getting the very need that he had. When you read down through this in this 9th verse and on down through the 14th, and you begin to see Naaman was was beside himself. Here he was. He came over there and he expected this prophet to come out and lay hands on him and call on his God and heal him. And it'd be a wonderful miracle. But God didn't work that way, did he? The prophet didn't even come out and see him. And he told him to go down and dip in that old muddy Jordan. Naaman said, he was offended. He didn't just say this, but I can just hear, I'm better than this. He didn't even have the respect. Oh, dear ones, Lord, help us this evening. Sometimes we put the Lord in a box and, Lord, you got to do it this way. And the Lord just saying, all you got to do is meet the conditions. You got to meet the conditions, and it doesn't matter. Sometimes, I want this preacher to pray, and I want this, and it has to be, if the pastor don't get up and come over here in the middle of the night, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it doesn't matter all those things. What matters is if you and I meet the conditions, God will begin to answer prayer. And that's what happened. When Naaman got to the place where he began to recognize. And how did he do that? His servants. Oh, I'm thankful. I'm so thankful, dear ones, for the servants. For those that are humble. These things, the scripture says, thou have hid from the proud and the haughty, but those that are lowly, they get a glimpse of something. And you know what happened to these servants? They loved Naaman. And they said, Master, if he had asked you to do something hard, wouldn't you have done it? Oh, yes, I can almost hear it. I'm a mighty man, and I'll do whatever I need to do. I'd have climbed a mountain if that's what he had asked me to do. But when it comes to humbling himself, that was just too hard. And they said, if he'd asked you this, would you not have done it? Yes. Is it not better to just do this little thing? You know what Naaman did? He humbled himself. And when he went down into that muddy Jordan and he dipped himself 7 times and he come out of there, what did God do? He cleansed him of his leprosy. Oh, dear ones, I'm going to tell you, these stories in the Bible are for a purpose. When you and I meet the conditions, God will meet our need, whatever it is. It doesn't matter whether it's physical, spiritual, emotional, whatever it is. When we meet the needs, God has something for us. Oh, look at this. I'm reminded of the words of that song, number 56, The Faithfulness of God. What did it say? Oh, look at the faithfulness of Christ our Lord. And what it went on, it said how He saves and keeps the soul. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, we serve a faithful God. Look at what He did. He took, dear ones, can we see the faithfulness of God to Naaman, to Balaam, and how that He took and He dealt with him, and He used whatever means that He could to get this message of hope and deliverance to their souls? Can we see how He was so faithful to warn them, if you don't do it, here's what's going to happen? Dear ones, this message has gone out over and over down through the generations from the very beginning of time to those who know the Lord and to those that do not know the Lord. He has used things that are in people's lives that have no knowledge of God, just like this Syrian, and He's used things to teach them this valuable message. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the Lamb. Oh, dear ones, Lord, help us. The question that He's asking us tonight is, what will it take to persuade us? When you see all these things that have happened and you see His dealings, dear ones, if you get anything from this message, I want you to know something. God loves each and every soul in this building. And He is doing everything within His power, short of overriding our will, which He will never do, to help you and I to find the needs of our souls and to help us to get heaven. Dear ones, God wants you and I, everyone, to make heaven. And He is doing this. He's doing this because He loves us, and He will work through all of these things. And dear ones, I believe if you and I will be honest with ourselves and with God, we'll have to acknowledge God's been merciful to us. He's been more than merciful to us. He has been faithful to us to give us time and opportunity to take care of the needs of our soul. Do you know the very fact that you're here tonight? The very fact that God has allowed this meeting to come to Guthrie again is proof enough of God's faithfulness to allow you and I to be able to find the needs of our souls. Dear ones, God didn't have to do any of this. It's because of His love. Regardless of what our need is tonight, God wants to fill it. Do you know, dear ones, when you look at this in a meeting like this, I found that God is faithful to bring things to fill every need of our soul. It's like a smorgasbord. There's all these messages. They're nothing new, just like the one tonight is not. It's been preached over and over. And dear ones, when God sends something like this, He will supply every need that we have. It may be the need of salvation. It may be a need of being sanctified. It may be that we have a need of more power with God. It may be that we need more grace, more patience, more long-suffering, more forgiveness. We may need faith to be able to get a hold of these things that God has for us. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, whatever it is, God has an abundant supply of that need for us. It's ours. He wants us to have it. And dear ones, these things, if we'll take and do like the man that was there in Jesus' time, and he said, as your faith is, so be it unto you. And he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Dear ones, if you and I will humble ourselves before the Lord, Lord, this is where I'm at. I can't get this on my own. I'm going to tell you, God will be faithful, and He'll meet us right where we're at. The devil would like to convince you and I that, well, you have to get to this place and you get this great faith and you do all this and God will heal or He'll save or He'll do that. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God will meet you right where you're at. You don't have to build up no great faith. What you have to do is meet the conditions. It's not faith in our ability or our power. It's faith in the power of God. And when we meet the conditions, God is able to work. Whatever we're short of tonight, dear ones, God has an abundant supply. And I want to show you that by scripture in Malachi, the third chapter. In Malachi, the third chapter, the 10th verse, very familiar passage of scripture, he said, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it." Dear ones, I am fully convinced tonight that if we're lacking anything in our spiritual lives, and I want to expand that to say if we're lacking anything in our lives, spiritual, physical, financial, whatever it is, God has all that we need. And dear ones, if we're not getting what we need, it may be that we're not meeting the conditions. I realize that sometimes, and if you're here and you're going through something and the Lord's allowing you to go through it, I understand sometimes the Lord allows us to go through something for a while. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes it's because we're not meeting the conditions. Because God has all that we need. Everything. As I was thinking about this and meditating on these thoughts, I thought about how the states, sometimes, and even maybe the federal government, has what they call an unclaimed property fund. You've probably heard of this, and it's where if banks or the government or anybody else has funds and somebody dies or they've gone away and they can't get them, they turn it over and it goes into this fund. And the state holds this, or the government holds it, and they're waiting for either the next of kin or that person or somebody to come and to claim it. And so it's sitting there. And I was thinking about that. And you know what? I wonder if one of the torments of hell will not be that if we're lost, that we'll be able to see into heaven, into that great storehouse of our Heavenly Father, and see all those things that had our name on it. Things that God provided for us, specifically for me, for Curtis. It's got my name on it. It belonged to me. It was there and God provided it. But for whatever reason, I did not claim what He had. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that's going to be a terrible thing. To think that, you know, I got impatient and I did this, and it caused me to go down a path of destruction. I had anger. I had unforgiveness. And I look there in eternity, and I look up into that great storehouse of my Heavenly Father, and I see that bundle of patience with Curtis Williams on it. I see that bundle of grace right there with Curtis Williams on it. And I, oh, Lord, that was mine. Yeah, I provided that, but you never claimed it. Why? Do you know sometimes it's just like with this situation with the government. It's because there's things that are there that people are not aware of. They don't realize what they're missing out on. And so they may be struggling through life, trying to pay bills and not able to make ends meet. And all the time, there's thousands of dollars sitting over there with their name on it, just waiting to be claimed. And they have no idea what's there. Sometimes, dear ones, it's because that people, they haven't paid attention. Do you know that the government has taken, and they sent that message out over and over through radio and media, the paper and different forms of media, and I've heard it different times. I have to be honest with you, I haven't gone out there and looked either. I don't expect, and you see what happens? We don't expect it. Well, I haven't lost anything. I don't know of anything that have left anything to me, and so I haven't gone. And you know, that's exactly what has happened many times. The same thing happens spiritually. Do you know God has all of this? And the messages have gone out over and over of what God has in His great storehouse for you and I. Yes. And yet the devil comes by and convinces souls, well, that's not for you. You know, you've went and checked that before and you didn't get it. So it's not for you. Made them skeptical. And sometimes the reason people don't claim it is because, just like with the government, they know that they have done something that they shouldn't have done. There's things that they've done in their life. They may have a warrant out for their arrest. They may be that they didn't pay taxes or something. And there's something in the record and they know that. And so they're like, I'm not going to go in there because if I do, I'll be discovered for who I am, for what I've done. And that may be their way of luring me in there. And so I'm not going to go, even though they know that all this is out there for them. They've seen their name on that and they know they've heard somebody call, did you see that? Your name's, it's right down there. I saw it. I looked here and here's where it was at. Even though they know it, they won't do it because of that. Do you know, dear ones, sometimes that's the reason people do not get what they need from the Lord. I'm convinced tonight that most people understand where to find the needs of their soul. It's found in the Word of God. You can see over and over stories and scriptures that speak to the needs of our soul. And yet many people will not go there. I don't want to know. You see, I don't want it. And sometimes I don't want others to know. I'm convinced that a lot of people know that the need that they have can be fulfilled right at an altar prayer just like this. Those needs can be fulfilled in assemblies just like this. And yet, because I don't want anybody to know what I've been doing, I don't want anybody to know that I'm really not in that place that I should be. And because they failed to humble themselves, they failed to claim the very things that God has for their souls. Oh, dear ones, humility is the key that unlocks those windows of heaven that will pour out upon you the blessings that you and I need in our souls. We'll go there, but I want to go to something else first. I want to look first at those that have a need, but they don't realize what God has in His great storehouse. And I want to look at a scripture in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, very familiar scripture here. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. As we've already illustrated tonight, dear ones, all of these stories, if you will, in the scriptures have been written there to illustrate to you and I what our Heavenly Father has in that great storehouse for you and I. All of the people in these different stories in the scriptures, all of the different circumstances that they face, they've been written there for one purpose, dear ones, to illustrate to us the things that our Heavenly Father has available for us. When I see the faith of Abraham, when I see the things that Daniel went through and how God met him, do you know what that's for? It's to encourage my heart, to help me to know that when I get in that place, my God has the same thing in His storehouse for you and I. I want to look at a couple more. That clock's rolling. I want to look at a couple more stories because I want us to understand, young people especially. Oh, I know the devil sometimes, he makes you think, oh, it's so hard to read. Get a hold of these things. Read these accounts and ask the Lord to open it to your minds because it has valuable messages for us. If you'll go, we could start anywhere in the scriptures and you can look at stories that convey the message that the prophet Isaiah had. But in Genesis, the 2nd chapter and the 8th verse, it says here, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And then He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree also of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. I want us to notice what God did. It says that He provided trees for food. He also provided trees for their emotional well-being. You say, what do you mean? He said, every tree that is pleasant to the sight. Do you know, dear ones, God didn't have to do that. He could have made every tree to look like those cedars that are growing all over these fields. He could have had oranges grow on them, apples, bananas. He could have had everything go on that tree. He's God. He created it. He could have done it. But dear ones, He provided everything that they needed. Their physical, their emotional, everything. That He provided rivers for them to drink from, to bathe in, to swim in. Do you see, dear ones, God provided everything that man needed.
Yes.
And I want you to know tonight, God has also provided everything that you and I need. Whether it's physical, financial, emotional, spiritual, whatever it is, God has gone to great lengths to provide for you and I everything that we need. And it's all in that great storehouse of heaven. And He's got it there just waiting to... In my mind, I can almost see those windows up there just like this. And they're just... It's just bulging. And He's like, all you got to do is meet the conditions. And I open this and you won't be able to contain the outflow that is coming out of that great storehouse of our Heavenly Father. It's there, and it's just like... If you just meet this condition, it's like pulling that trigger and all of heaven's blessings can flow down upon you and I. But I'm going to tell you, we must meet the conditions. If you look at what He said to Adam and Eve in this 16th verse, He said, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Do you see the same message? If you be willing and obedient, you can have the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword. It's the same message, isn't it? All the way through. Dear ones, from the very beginning of time, God has tried to show man that there are some things you'd better leave alone. There are things that will cause you heartache and grief. They are things that will take and keep you from being able to access that great storehouse of our Heavenly Father. Do you know the Scriptures are so clear throughout all of this? If you go over there and look, there's a Scripture. Hold this place, I want to come back. But in 1 John, the second chapter, very familiar. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." It says, "If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, they're not of the Father, but they're of the world." Dear ones, these things, when you look at this, there are clear warnings to the Scripture. These things will not only take and cost you and I the presence of God in our lives, it'll cost you and I from being able to access that great storehouse where is all the blessings that God has with your name on it and with my name on it. We're going to have to take and avoid those things that the Scriptures give us clear understanding, because they will hinder us just like they did Adam and Eve. They will take and close off our access to the things that God has for us. The power, the grace, the patience, all of these things, the peace, the joy. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, if you sat here tonight and you heard this singing and the presence of God coming down and you felt empty and you're like, "Oh, I wish I could rejoice like that." I'm going to tell you, it's these things that will hinder you from doing that. And the Scriptures are very clear all the way through. Do you know what it did? It hindered Adam and Eve from having access to the Garden of Eden, the place that God had provided everything that they needed. It hindered them their unfettered access to that fountain of living water that God had provided for them. And dear ones, it hindered their access to the tree of life that God had placed in the garden. Do you know, dear ones, that's why there's heartache and sickness and disease in our world today? Had man just simply obeyed the Lord and ate the good of the land, as the Scripture was, the promise, the message, don't you know things would have been so different in our world?
Yes.
Cancer? Let me go over and take a bite off of that tree of life. There's nothing that it can do, dear ones. You see, God had provided everything for man, but because they disobeyed, it cut off their access to all that God had provided. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it'll do the same thing for you and I today. The things that God has given us in His Word, and He's told us, leave that alone. You better leave it alone, because it'll cut off access to the very things that you're going to need in life. When your family gets in trouble, your children, your companion, when there's temptations come and you need grace and you need power to resist these things, if you've been dabbling in the world, if you've been dabbling with the things that you know that God has said, leave alone, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's going to cut off your access to the very power that you need in your life. And the devil will be right there to destroy you. Do you know what happened to Adam and Eve? They lost access to all this. Why? Because they failed to meet the conditions that God had put on them. Do you know those conditions were not hard? It wasn't something difficult, something that they couldn't understand. He simply said, you could eat of everything in the garden but this thing. Do you know it wasn't something that Eve was like, Lord, I just don't know. I don't understand this. I don't know what you want. Do you know, dear ones, what I found in life is there's a lot of people that are just like the scribes and the Pharisees. They strain at a gnat and they swallow a camel. They take and they look, oh, I don't understand revelations and I don't understand this and the doctrines and I just don't understand all these things. And they're just struggling with this and the devil's just got them worked up and they're just like, I just throw up my hand, I don't understand it. And all the time, the things that they know that they should be doing. How I should treat my wife. How I should treat my children. How I should conduct myself. Things that they know that they should be doing. They're not doing them. Because the devil's got them struggling over something that they don't understand. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, you're not going to be lost over things you don't understand. But what you will be lost is over something that you know. What is sin? He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. There's going to be a lot of people that's going to go out into eternity and be lost because of little things that they thought, I knew to do that. Do you know one of the lessons in this story with Adam and Eve? Do you notice what Satan did when he talked to Eve? He asked her, did God say you could eat of all these trees? Do you know why Satan asked her that? He wanted to know without a shadow of a doubt that she knew what God had said. Because sin is a willful violation of the law. He could not destroy them. He could not do anything with them until he knew, I know she knows. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that's going to be the things that's going to cause souls to be lost. Because of little things that they know. And the devil's got them way over here looking at things that Lord, I just don't know about all this. And he's diverted them from the very things that God has. Dear ones, Lord, help us. This is one of the reasons why God put this story in the Scriptures. He wants us to know of all the things that he's provided in his great storehouse for you and I. But he also wants us to know what will happen if we fail to meet the conditions. I'm going to go to one more story. It's over here in Genesis, the 6th chapter. We find the story of Noah. Genesis, the 6th chapter, in the 1st verse, and it came to pass when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Sound familiar, doesn't it? They got away from something, dear ones. They got away from the very fundamental concept of marriage that God had instituted in the very beginning of time. And they began to do things that God never intended for man to do. And you look at this in this 5th verse, and it said, and God saw the wickedness of man that was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Think about this. Dear ones, don't you know that when God looks over our world today, that it grieves him to see all the wickedness and the evil that is going on in our land today? When you and I read scriptures, and the scriptures tell us, I am the Lord, I change not. Dear ones, that ought to tell us that if God was displeased with those things back there, he's just as displeased with them today. Yes. It didn't change any of that. Dear ones, God had a perfect plan that he put in place. And he showed us very clearly in the illustration in the scriptures from the very beginning of what he had in mind. One man, one woman, united in holy matrimony until death do they part. Why? Because it illustrated a beautiful picture that God wanted man to get a hold of love, of the church, of the bride of Christ and his relationship. And we could go on that. But dear ones, this is what God had in mind. And yet, don't you know, dear ones, man has deviated far from that? Don't you know, dear ones, that had God wanted man to have 10 wives, he could have gave Adam 10 wives? Had he wanted Eve to have 10 husbands, he could have gave Eve 10 husbands and it would have been in the pattern. But he didn't. Because he had a perfect plan that he wanted to do. And you know what happened? When Jesus was here on the earth, and the subject of marriage and divorce and all those things came up, do you know what he said? He said, in the beginning, it was not so. He took them all the way back to the pattern. Dear ones, God has given us within His Word a pattern. And you and I are going to have to follow the pattern. When we get off of the pattern, dear ones, it gets things all confused. Do you know, God could have done a lot of things. If He had wanted Adam to have a husband, He could have created him one. If He had wanted Eve to have a wife, He could have created her one. But that wasn't the pattern. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, don't believe the lie that Satan is permeating through our world today. When he tells you God understands your situation, when he tells you that God is a God of love and all he wants is for you to be happy, you better not believe the lie that he's permeating. Because I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when you deviate from one principle of truth in the Word of God, it's like telling a lie. When you tell one, you got to tell a second one to cover it up. And then you got to tell a third one to cover those two up. And before long, things get so twisted and out of shape, it's far from truth. Notice what he said here. And God saw the wickedness of man that was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts, of his heart, was only evil continually. You know, it's no wonder that God was displeased. The wickedness that was going on. We could take and go over and look at the stories of Sodom and Gomorrah and see what happened. They failed to learn this lesson. They had it, but they failed to learn from it. And you can see the punishment that God brought upon them. And if you look at this, here it goes on and he said, these are the generations of Noah. I've got ahead of it. No, it said, I missed that. It said, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of his thought, of his heart, was only evil continually. You know, I believe this is one of the reasons that God put this story in the scriptures. Because he looked out through time and he saw what the end of time would be like. He said, it'd be as it was in the days of Noah. It will be as it was in the days of Lot. He knew the things that would be permeating their society and that people would be accepting. And he put this to warn us. This is what's going to happen. But dear ones, he also put it for another reason. And I want us to get a hold of this tonight. It says in this 8th verse, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, dear ones, even in a time when the scripture says wickedness was great on the earth and man's heart was on evil continuously, God had grace in his great storehouse up in heaven that not only enabled Noah to live a life that was perfect and just in his generation, but it was enough to cause God to spare his children in this old world from utter destruction. If you're here tonight and you've got lost loved ones, or you've got souls that you're burdened for, this ought to encourage us. The grace of God is just as rich for you and I tonight, dear ones. And I'm persuaded that the reason that time is extending is because there are some people that are living just and perfect in this generation. And the grace of God is there and it's extending to mankind. When you look at this, he said, in this not verse, he said, these are the generations of Noah. Now when Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God, and Noah begat three sons. It goes on, it says, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Yeah. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them from the earth. Dear ones, when you and I see evil and wickedness and corruption spreading in our world today, we need to remember what God said. He said, the end of all flesh is come up before me, and the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them from off of the earth. Dear ones, these things will bring destruction upon this whole world. It did in Noah's time, it did in Lot's time, and it'll do it again. But I want us to remember, even in those kinds of times, dear ones, if you and I will meet the conditions, God will open those great windows of heaven to that great storehouse, and He'll pour upon you and I the grace that will enable us to live a just and a perfect life right in our generation, in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation. He said these, in the ninth verse, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. I can't stop until I tell you what these conditions are. These are the conditions, dear ones. Noah was a just man. Now, I want to read you what Webster says. Based on behaving according to what is morally right. Noah was a just man. He lived according to what was morally right. And it said he was a perfect in his generation. And Webster defines perfect as having all the required or desirable elements, qualities, or characteristics as good as is possible to be. As good as is possible to be. Dear ones, Noah lived as good as it was possible for him to live in his generation. He didn't live in the time that you and I live in. But he lived as good as he could possibly live by the grace of God. And dear ones, that's what it's going to take for you and I. We're going to have to take and live in a manner that is just and moral. In a way that is right. Yeah. And you know what? That's what the plan of salvation is all about tonight. It's to enable you and I to live a life free from sin. Don't listen to the lies out there in the world. It will enable you and I to live a life free from sin. It'll give us power to be able to resist the temptations, the frustrations of life, the things that you and I deal with every day. And I know I'm human just like you are. I face those things. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God has in that great storehouse in heaven the grace, the patience, the love, the long-suffering, everything that you and I need in life. When we meet the conditions and we live as close to the Lord as we could possibly live, when we have the blood of Christ applied to our hearts and we abstain from every appearance of evil like the Scriptures teach us, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it will unlock those windows, and God has grace for you and I. Oh, dear ones, this is what it takes for you and I to be able to walk with God. That song in our book, it talks about humility. It goes in, I've wrote some of that. Let me see if I can find this here. It's number 298 in the book. It says, if thou would have the dear Savior from heaven, walk by thy side from the morn till the evening. There is a rule that each day you must follow. Humble thyself to walk with God. Just as the Lord in the world's early ages, just like we've been hearing, walked in communion with the prophets and sages, He will come now right here in 2018, if you will meet the conditions, humble thyself to walk with God. Just as a stream finds a bed that is lowly, so Jesus walks with the pure and the holy. Cast out thy pride, and in heartfelt contrition, humble thyself to walk with God. Oh, dear ones, tonight, this is the key to receiving everything that God has for us in His great storehouse of blessings. And I believe that the reason that so many people do not get what God has for them, the reason they do not avail themselves of what God has, is because somewhere along the line they have failed to meet the conditions. And so they come and they pray and they look to God just like Nahum did. He was wanting something. But dear ones, if he had gone away the way he was going, he would have never received the need that he had. My burden tonight, dear ones, is that we recognize that our great Heavenly Father has in His storehouse everything that you and I need. No matter what it is tonight, whether we're needing salvation, whether we need to be sanctified, whether we need to be healed, whether we need patience, whatever it is, it's all there, dear ones. There's nothing that is lacking. God has our name on it, an abundant supply. Because our Heavenly Father loves us. But we're going to have to meet the conditions. And we're going to have to humble ourselves before the Lord. He said, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the Lamb. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Dear ones, my burden tonight is that it not be the latter. My burden is that we not be devoured by the sword, but that we each one can be able to eat the good of the Lamb. That we can have the Lord open those windows and pour out upon us everything that we need. God has put messages all through the scriptures and stories to reveal this to you and I. No doubt throughout this meeting, He sent message after message. And His question to you and I tonight is, what will it take to persuade us? Dear ones, I'm going to tell you, God has gone to great lengths to help you and I to understand what He has for you and I. But He's also gone to great lengths to warn us that if we refuse and rebel, if we fail to humble our hearts and meet the conditions, it will cost us the very things that we want. May the Lord help us tonight. If we're here, if you're here, and there's a need in your soul, whatever it is, I'm persuaded, dear ones, that the Lord doesn't send His messages unless there's a need. And I'm persuaded tonight that there are souls here tonight that have needs. I don't know what all they are, but God does. And He's looking out over this assembly, and He has sent a message to talk to every one of our hearts. And He's saying, what will it take to persuade you? Are you willing to humble yourself and meet the conditions? If you will, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out upon you a blessing that you cannot contain. May the Lord bless us tonight.